Today we're looking at a sermon I'm entitled, Make Hay While the Sun Shines. And even though most of you are not farmers, I know you can identify with this if you've been trying to mow the lawn this week, right? I mean, you got to get out there when you can get out there and get that grass mowed, because if you waste too much time, you're not going to get it mowed, right? I was out there Friday night because I knew we were away Saturday. And so Friday night, as soon as it quit raining, I was out there. I mean, Thursday night. So Thursday night, I'm out there. It's like it just poured a little bit before that, but the wind started blowing the rain off. I thought, I'm going to get out there. You know, I think back to the days when I was farming, and I remember my dad saying this. He would say, you know, we'd want to go do something. Today's the day of the picnic. Oh, we can't go to the picnic today. You've got to make hay while the sun shines, right? And of course, it's become synonymous for non-farmers with you take advantage of every occasion that you don't miss the opportunity, right? You just don't miss the opportunity for the things that are really important. You've got to get those first. So this morning, we're going to look at the virgins that are in this story with the wives who had oil in their vessels for their lamps. You know, this is a story that I am sure, I'm just positive, that when Jesus started to tell a story about a wedding in first century Palestine, everybody leaned forward because that was a huge deal, even more so than it is today. So I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were going to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you." So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. You just don't know, he says. So as I said, I believe that Jesus really got their attention when he started talking about a wedding. What do you think? I mean, I know in our day, it's a huge deal, right? I mean, everyone knows you've spent a fortune on weddings if you've had one in your family. You know that it's quite a big deal in our day. It really is. In fact, Hollywood has made movies about it, right? So as I said, they have made movies after movies after movies about weddings in our culture. That's actually a very long video. I just gave you 35 seconds of it, okay? But, I mean, it's just one clip after another of weddings. This is stuff that poems are written about it, books are written about it. We know that it's a big, big deal in our culture. But can I just tell you that it's nothing compared to what it was? You don't believe me, do you? You think it just keeps getting worse and worse. And it seems like it in our culture, doesn't it? That we just keep getting more and more extravagant. But there was a day where that was the big moment of the year. The wedding was the whole thing for the whole village, not just for the family. Because here's the deal, friends. We live in a culture where there's lots of distractions. I've often said that a church cannot, and we just can't. We cannot compete with Hollywood. I mean, you know, we don't have millions of dollars to spend on all the trappings and all the special effects and all the people to cut out seconds after seconds and clip it all together to make a perfect movie. We cannot do that, right? And we really can't even do it at weddings as much as we try. to compete with everything that's out there in our culture? I mean, you know, we've got a lot happening in our culture, don't we? I mean, in our culture, there are so many distractions, and it's no surprise to me that it's hard to compete for people's attention in this culture, even for a wedding. And you know, you've been to weddings where we're like, well, there's not many people at this wedding. Then you show up at the reception, it's packed. Well, it wasn't that way in Jesus' day, let me tell you. Because in Jesus' day, it was a huge deal when somebody got married. In Jesus' day, it was amazing because, I mean, you had the Day of Atonement, you know, the Passover. I mean, that was basically it for the big deals of the year. And when there was a wedding, it was a party to end all parties. So I want us to think a little bit about how all this would have played out. These young ladies all had lights and all fell asleep, right? Now what's going on in this parable? What is Jesus telling a real-time story? Believe it or not, he is. This is exactly how it would have played out. And he just takes this story like he does with all these amazing touchstone stories that he does. And he says, you know this real-life situation. This is how it is spiritually. And he lays it out for us. So I wanted to explain what really was going on here. That they really did have 10 bridesmaids. That's exactly how it worked. And they really would hang out together for like the last couple days. Because remember when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem? Remember they were betrothed. Remember that word? Say betrothed with me. Betrothed. Okay, so they were betrothed. That they were legally bound. They were married. By law, they were legally married when they were betrothed. But the woman did not go with the man after they got married. That was just a legal statement. And for a year, approximately, and nobody knew exactly when that year would come to a close, but about a year, they would live, and she would live with her parents. He would start to prepare a place for her. You remember when in John 14, when Jesus was getting ready to be nailed to a cross, and he's trying to comfort the people. Remember what he said? Remember, he always called himself the groom and the church the bride. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back for you. This is what he's talking about. He's using the marriage metaphor to talk about, I'm coming back for you just like I said I would. Be sure of this. I'm going away, but I'm coming back for you. This is exactly what the groom did. The groom went away. He prepared a place, and then he worked it out with the father of the bride saying, okay, I think I have this up to a standard good enough for your little girl. Are you okay with letting her come with me now? And when the daddy approved of it, then they were able to come together as a family. And what would happen is the groom would send an announcer ahead. They would blow the shofar horn, and a guy would yell, the groom has arrived outside the house of the bride. And they would all get up, and they'd go running out, and they'd get ready for the big celebration. And they would actually follow the groom and the bride to the groom's house. And on the way to the groom's house, they would take the longest route possible so that everybody in the whole village would know that there's a celebration going on over the groom and bride's house. Because when they would arrive at the house, they would go in and they would shut the door and they would begin the celebration. Why would they shut the door? Well, because this is third world Palestine, first century. There were people who would, you know, look for people. I mean, I know even today, a lot of people don't like to list their, things about their address or anything when it's around a funeral because they're afraid somebody might come. They did the same thing. They would lock the door to make sure nobody came in to the little village so the gate would get locked after everybody got in. And now that's the way it is. And the party would be going on, but the young ladies, who all had lights, all fell asleep. Now, I want you to realize that all the ladies had a chance, didn't they? All 10 of them, not just the 5 of them. All 10 of them had a chance to go to the party. All of them. Because this is God's heart for whoever believes, right? God wants everybody in. Let's read together from Ephesians 2:18. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. And what has Christ done for us? We open the way. He made it possible for all of us to attend the party. No one has to miss this party. Everybody's invited to come and be part of the party. And that's exactly what happened for these all 10 of the virgin girls, the bridesmaids that were hanging out with the bride. But we know that for some reason they decided to not get enough oil. Can you figure that out? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, wouldn't you think for something, such a big party as the wedding, a big party like this, and friends, this was not a one-day party. Did you know that? This was a party that lasted all week. They didn't go on honeymoons. Instead, all the friends in the whole village came and spent the week with them, celebrating. That's why they ran out of wine, and Jesus had to make more wine in his first miracle. Remember that? It was a long party. And for a whole week, they would just celebrate together. But the bridesmaids missed it all because they didn't worry about getting ready. And it's really a tragic, tragic story in that way, isn't it? So what are the implications of this parable? Well, first of all, life has unexpected moments, doesn't it? It really does. I mean, you just don't know, right? You know, I think of